that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You would hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. Amen. You know, you've always heard that God really doesn't categorize sin. Well, he actually does. In the New Testament, you find one, you know, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which, you know. Two is unforgiveness. It's the only sin in there that Scripture talks about. Jesus said, unless you forgive the sins of others, your sins will not be forgiven, right? Doesn't say that about any of the rest of them. And I think if I had to put a number on the number three, you know, and, you know, this is me, right? I'm not giving you doctrine or anything like that. Y'all can throw stuff at me. Is the sin of unbelief. Because unbelief, which we read here in Hebrews 3 and 4, is what kept them and what keeps us from entering into all that God has for us, right? And Hebrews 12:1 says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin. Doesn't say sins. Let us lay aside the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the races. So, the sin is the sin of unbelief. Because chapter 11 is all about faith, right? All about how these people, by faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. They were able to enter in. It was kind of fresh on my mind. We talked about it last night in Bible study. And those guys never know. We're supposed to be doing the Song of Solomon, which I do just about every week, you know. However, we always get off on the exit ramps. You know, if the Lord tells me to speak on this, I'll do it, you know, okay? So I was kind of kicking last night. I wanted to do Song of Solomon, but we did. We talked about this. And Hebrews 3 and 4 kind of lays it out for us. I'm going to try to read quickly here because I don't want to read all these verses for time's sake. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, or that calling is a feast. So you're I got to not do that. I'm going to try not to stop and explain stuff so I can get through these verses. But your heavenly calling is to a heavenly feast, right? Isn't that cool? Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him. He was faithful to God, as Moses was in all his house. For he had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, and just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which are to be spoken later. And Christ is faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm unto the end. And that word, hold fast our confidence, is that you don't doubt. All right? Hang on to it. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me and tested me, saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was outdone or angry with this generation. The word is grieved there. And they always go astray in their heart. They did not know my ways, and I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And this comes from, he's quoting from Psalm 95. I'm not going to read Psalm 95. But it was at a place right of Rephidim, right when, right after, they had the miracle of the manna, right? Johnny, how many Jews actually came out of Egypt, would you say? I've heard several numbers. About 2.5 million. I was thinking 2 million, even though he's a good Old Testament teacher. So you got about 2.5 million people and God letting manna fall, right? And they'd go out. What a miracle, right? He fed 2.5 million people every day with this manna. You know, what is it that they would eat? Right after, you know, they were griping and complaining and grumbling against the Lord. Right after that, they got thirsty. They kind of moved, the Lord moved them to this new place. And they got thirsty and they started grumbling all over again, you know, griping and complaining. And, you know, Moses was afraid he was going to get stoned. So the Lord told him to, stand on their rock, strike the rock, and water would come out of it. And that was one of the places where this is talking about, where he swore in his wrath they wouldn't enter his rest. And also, in context with what we're reading here, was also when they came up to the edge of Canaan, you know, they sent the spies in, and the Lord said, for ten different times you've tried me now, you know, and they swore in his wrath that they wouldn't enter his rest. So he wiped out the whole generation, all of them except Caleb and Joshua, and then all the younger ones. But that whole, so that was a bunch of folks, right? But what it means to us is he was getting rid of all the unbelief, okay? So take care, brethren, this verse 12, read that a lot, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Or actually, the way that's translated is the evil of unbelief. And that word evil is pain-ridden agonies and miseries that's associated. So we think of evil, oh, that's wicked. But it means all the agonies and all the miseries and all the pain that comes from unbelief. Because it causes you to fall away from him. Okay? So this unbelief is a pretty big deal, right? But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, or of the sin. For we have all become partakers of Christ if we hold fast our beginning and assurance to the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all of those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who were disobedient? Or that word disobedience is willful unbelief. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of us entering in his rest, any of you may come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they did. But the word that they heard did not profit them, because it was not united in faith by those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And although his works, credible verse, were finished from the foundation of the earth. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter, those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of the disobedience. He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after a long time, just as it has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day. Joshua was being just a type of Christ to come. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The one who has entered God's rest has himself rested from his works, just as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent. That word means swift and quick, to enter God's rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of unbelief. Right? Incredible passage here, given Old Testament types to a New Testament reality. That every day there's a word that God is speaking to us. Today, if you hear his voice. The word that God is speaking to you right now and me right now is to enter into his rest. All right? Because the people who enter into the rest of God, it says rest from his works. That doesn't mean that no activity at all. That means inwardly I'm at peace and I'm at rest because it is finished. God has finished all the works. You know, we hear that a lot around here. Ephesians 2:10 talks about we're his masterpiece, you know, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them, right? Walk in his finished work. But the enemy that we have, or the sin that we have, is our unbelief. Saying that the only reason you don't enter into God's rest right now, or I don't enter into God's rest, is my unbelief. In this thing, Deuteronomy 1:32, in this thing I am not believing the Lord my God. Right? Because the Lord's promised to them in the Old Testament that they would enter a land flowing with milk and honey, and he had already gone before them. He had already defeated their enemies. All they had to do is enjoy, show up. They didn't have to plan any. Everything had been planted for them. They were, you know, it had all been done. In his word to us, it's all been done. All we have to do, moment by moment, day to day, by faith, enter into God's rest. When you wake up and I wake up, God has already gone before you. Right? and everything has been done for you. By faith, you can enter into that, or if not, Scripture says it hardens our heart. Right? And we will experience the agonies of unbelief. Right? Stress, worry, all those things that come, fear, you name it, long list of stuff. And that's not the sin we need to confess. We need to confess our fear. What we need to confess is our unbelief. That's the sin that entangles us. Right? I mean, it's okay to say, I'm sorry for worrying or doing this. However, we got to get to the root of it. Right? If you want to kill something, you want to take care of a tree or a plant, you pull it up by the roots. Right? I use this all the time. So you can't kill an apple tree by picking the apples. Right? You can't do it by cutting the limbs off. You can cut it down close to the ground as you can get it. It's still going to grow back. You got to get and pull the roots up. So what the Lord gets after for us, the reason I'm not entering in and enjoying everything that Christ has done for me already, sitting at His banqueting table, resting in His presence, feasting, is just my unbelief. Simple, right? Yet complicated. So the Lord's just been really challenging me on that, you know, because when you give in to complaint, as I do, you know, complaining about things or fussing about it or, you know, getting overwhelmed with everything I've got to do, you know, again, what I'm tripping over and what Hebrews 12:1 says, the sin which so easily entangles us, I'm not trusting the Lord. I'm not really believing that He's got it, right? And that is healed in relationship. So, if you're not enjoying God's rest right now, it's real simple. Confess your unbelief. Because His voice is speaking to you now, enter in. Enter in. It's like all day long, the Lord is just saying to all of us, enter in, right? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.